Section number 10804, Rule 2. Yeah.
Mr. Fitzgerald, Rule 2, but Wilhelm Wurtz wasn't killed in that.
No, he survived.
You were also telling me, I think, that at that time one of the Woolworth carriers was lost.
The Audacity was lost.
Can you tell me how that came about?
The Audacity withdrew to one side of the convoy on the captain's own of initiative. I don't think it was anything to do with Walker. Captain Walker was in charge of the convoy. It was attacked by a U-boat and sank.
Do you know the dates, approximately, of this incident, the month it might have occurred?
No, I don't think I can. It's a long while ago. We did pick up several survivors from the Stanley. We dropped the whaler, or two whalers, and the Stork left us and circled round, and we picked up several men from the Stanley. Some of them were in a terrible state, burnt. And on board the Stanley was so many men from the Ark Royal who'd been lost off Gibraltar. And one or two of these was also picked up. But the ship went down in seconds, so there was a great loss of life on the Stanley.
You were also telling me that on that same convoy that you depth-charged one of the submarines successfully.
We attacked a U-boat in conjunction with the Flower Cask corvette. And Captain Walker described it as a copybook attack, that something they learnt at Asdic school. The first pattern of charges was slightly too deep, and the next pattern destroyed the U-boat. The U-boat exploded under the sea. Terrific explosion. And there was no survivors. We picked up part of a stretch and finder, sheepskin coat, rubber trousers, and the heart and lungs of German sailor. These parts was pickled by the ship's doctor and taken to Gibraltar, where they were viewed by the captains of merchant fleet. They were then taken back to England and viewed by several, including my wife, who saw it. And I think they went to a war medical museum after that, but I'm not quite sure.
How much needle was there between the U-boat crews and the convoy escorts, do you think?
Well, I can only talk about my particular... There was a great deal of bad feeling, because at this time German U-boat crews were sinking merchant men and machine gunning lifeboat crews and leaving people in open boats, and some of the state of the merchantmen we picked up was terrible. So there was a lot of bad feeling between U-boat crews and escort people, which is...
Did you have the feeling in doing these kind of duties that the fate of the country depended on it?
Most definitely, yes.
Did you think that the Merchant Navy or the Royal Navy had the worst job in convoys?
Merchant Navy.
Why do you think that?
Because they were defenceless. They were sitting ducks type of thing. and it was only the efficiency of the escorts that gave them any chance at all. U-boats at that day used to hunt in packs of 10, 14 at a time. And it was a very hard life for the merchant men. Ammunition ships, tankers, very rough.
Now, you were telling me about the number of kills, U-boat kills, that you had on the Stork, which must have been quite spectacular compared with what other ships were achieving.
Yes, we Captain Walker and the 36th Escort Group was very good. They were very proud of the reputation that we had, and the commander, Captain Walker, who instilled efficiency in every ship that he was in charge of, which included the corvettes who worked up with us. He was a terrific man.
Because to destroy 3 U-boats in one voyage
is something.
Presumably many ships were going right, escorts were going right through the war without ever killing a U-boat.
True, yes.
So were the crew all keyed up to kill U-boats? Was it a matter of importance to each member of the crew?
Oh yes, very much so, yes.
Would you get criticisms from Merchant Navy people? Would the Royal Navy get criticised by them?
I don't think so, no. I think the merchantmen realised that we had a very hard job to do. Captain Walker was so keen that he used to take, particularly the Stork, and we used to practice boarding a British submarine off the Irish coast, boarding it with the view. Captain Walker's ambition was to capture a U-boat intact and tow it back into Plymouth. So we used to practice this procedure, the taking a U-boat in tow, boarding a submarine, putting a wire onto it, and so if it did happen that we ever could get one in tow, that was his ambition.
Are there any other incidents that stick out in your memory from the Liverpool-Gibraltar run days?
We had several. Some of the merchantmen were equipped with a catafighter, which was a hurricane on the bows of the merchantmen. And when we were attacked by Focke-Wulf four-engined bombers, they used to fire the fighters off, and these used to attack or drive off the four-engined German bombers. And then it was our job to pick up the pilot, who used to land as near as it could to our ship. And it was quite a procedure, very exciting. I don't think we ever lost one, we picked them all up.
But of course the plane was wasted.
Plane was lost, yeah, no way of recovering the plane.
Why was it so exciting?
Well, dropping the boat in a rough sea and managing to get the pilot back was a bit of an achievement. Personally, I enjoyed that.
What kind of duties did the Stork take up after the Gibraltar runs?
Well, we took part in the invasion of North Africa, taking a huge convoy from Scotland to Algiers and Marseilles, Casablanca, landing troops in Algiers. Our particular job was Algiers. We were torpedoed in the Bay of Algiers by German U-boat.
Can you describe that incident?
Yes, we were performing a duty. Several ships going backwards and forwards across the mouth of the Bay of Algiers, protect the convoy which was laid inside. And about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we picked up an echo as a U-boat on the surface, close inshore, and we turned out a line to investigate this, and were torpedoed, which destroyed the forecastle of the ship. Fortunately, again, no one was killed. The paint shop got on fire, and the crew's quarters forward was more or less destroyed. We went into Algiers next morning, and we were patched up by the French dockyard people who made a makeshift repairs to get us to Gibraltar, and our own people strengthened the job, and we eventually made our way back to nearest port in England, which was Falmouth. By this time, the ship was nearly falling in half. It was. The shock of the explosion had compressed the ship, and although they'd welded steel girders across the damage, it was a very rough trip, and the whole of the crew's quarters was flooded and everything wet. Food was bad. And it was a long, slow journey on our own back to England.
Were they able to save the ship for further duties? The
ship was repaired and it became a fishery protection vessel after the war. Very strong and seaworthy ship.
And it was then that you left the Stoke, was it?
I left the Stoke then. The Stoke was decommissioned, and I went back into barracks.
And then later joined the Black Prince, I think you were saying.
Before that, I rather an interesting little episode. I volunteered for it involved 14 days sick leave, involved in gas tests at port and down, chemical gas tests. With the 108th Bombing Squadron of RAF, the Inniskilling Dragoon Guards, about 20 men from each service, and we were subjected to several tests of chemical warfare at port and down.
Can you describe what you did?
We drew lots for what tests we did. The Navy drew skin tests. The Army was spray warfare. And the RAF was gas chamber tests. And we all suffered a certain amount of burns. I was burnt on both shoulders and both arms with phosgene, Lewisite gases. Nothing very serious, but a lot of discomfort.
This was in 43, was it?
Beginning in 1943, yes.
Were you in a lot of pain?
At the beginning, for a few days, especially big blisters on his shoulders. But the attraction was 14 days leave, sick leave. Did silly things in the war.
Would you have volunteered for it if you had known what you would have had to do?
Yes, I think so. Soon passed.
Were there any permanent after effects?
Not that I know of. Just blistering, you see.
And then after that you joined the Black Prince?
After that I joined the Black Prince, which was built in Belfast. Dido-class cruiser. Modern Dido-class cruiser. The first Dido-class cruisers had three turrets forward, but this proved not a very good idea, and the third turret was taken over by a four-barreled pom-pom anti-aircraft gun. The ship commissioned on Trafalgar Day. I went to Belfast 3 months before the ship was ready and stood by the ship while it was in dockyard hands, living in civilian digs with a nice Irish family. And then the ship commissioned, and we did trials in the Clyde, speed tests in the Clyde, and then went up to the Orkney Islands Scapa Flow to work up efficiency. And we lost one man, drowned, while working up trials. And then we came back and joined the Devonport and Plymouth base. We then went on various outings. Attacked and destroyed two German destroyers in the Channel, two Kelvin class destroyers. We used to leave Plymouth at 10 o'clock at night and go down the Channel during the dark hours, hoping to catch German shipping off the French coast, then come back to England along the southern coast and back into Plymouth during the daylight hours. This went on for a couple of months. And then we did various duties, Russian convoys from Scapa Flow, Glasgow to Kola Inlet, Archangel. This was a very hard part of the war, bad weather, freezing conditions. Escorting convoys, which were large convoys, and were in some where they were attacked by surface vessels from Norway, German surface vessels. And our job was more or less act cover for the convoy. We had destroyers and frigates for anti-submarine cover, and we used to go to Kola, re-oil, and there for a week and escort the empty ships back to England.
Did the Black Prince have any narrow escapes on those Russian convoys?
We were attacked by Focke-Wulf and sometimes Blohm & Voss 6 engine planes. We lost a destroyer, the Marne, I think it was called, and one or two merchant ships. But mostly we did pretty well there too.
Was this in 1944?
It would be early part of 1944.
Did you go ashore in Russia?
Yes.
What did you make of it?
There was nothing much to see. It was the middle of winter and we were walking on feet of snow. There was the only transport about was horse and sleigh, carts, everything seemed to be communal, feeding, bathing, and there was nothing at all. We did have units of the Russian Navy aboard our ship and gave a concerts of the usual Russian dancing and singing, and but apart from that, nothing.
What impression did the Russian Navy make on you?
Not a great deal. When we arrived in Kola, we used to see Russian ships tied up in harbour, and we couldn't understand this, why they wasn't out doing part of the escort duty themselves, you see. Our thoughts was, why are these ships tied up here? Why aren't they out?
Why do you think it was?
I don't think the communications between the Russians and the British Navy was that good.
Why not?
I think that the British Navy knew what they were doing, and I think that being involved with Russian caused more confusion than what it was worth. That's only my impression, of course.
So did you ever know of any Russian ships or aircraft come out to help you in?
No.
How many Arctic convoys do you think you might have done?
About four, I believe. Maybe more, I'm not quite sure.
Can I just go back to you saying that you got these two German destroyers, I think you said, in the Channel?
Yes.
What do you remember about that, if you saw the action?
Oh, yes. Very exciting. We aboard the Black Prince, we had some type of communication people that came aboard, and we never exactly knew what they were there for, but it was something that didn't involve the crew, that they was kept more or less quiet. But I think they had some kind of wireless. Anyway, we came upon these. I think there were, I'm not quite sure, there was three German destroyers, and we destroyed two that night, which was a good thing.
Were you able to see anything?
Yes, the ships was. We came up astern of them, a bit surprised them. We illuminated them with star shell and the open fire. We was in. We had two tribal class destroyers, Canadian destroyers, with us. And we sank one almost immediately, and the other one was damaged and was driven ashore, and I think one of the destroyers finished it off later on.
Driven ashore on the coast of France?
Yes. The shore batteries opened up on us a couple of times. We had shrapnel inboard a couple of times, but nothing, no damage really.
Presumably, you could totally outrange the destroyers.
No, the destroyers, the German class destroyers, had the equivalent of our cruisers. Yeah, Kelvin class German destroyer. And then by this time, it was more or less invasion time.
Where and when did that incident with the two destroyers take place, do you know?
Where?
Yes, and...
You mean off what French port?
Particular part of the French coast.
I can't really say, not without looking at the map, I may be able to pick it out on the map, but it was, we used to go directly out from Plymouth towards the French coast, and then up towards the Atlantic part of the, towards St. George's Channel, and then turn back into the English side, and then come up the English coast. And we used to be back into Plymouth at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Re-ammunition, refuel, and we used to do another run maybe later on in the week.
How soon after you joined the Black Prince would this incident have been, do you think?
Months. 6 or 7 months, probably.
So into the early part of 44?
Yes.
Now, you said it was invasion time. You were referring to D-Day then, weren't you?
That's right, yes.
Did you personally take part in D-Day?
Yes.
On the Black Prince?
On the Black Prince.
What do you remember about that, please?
We were in a harbour off Northern Ireland. I can't remember the name of the harbour, but we were more or less isolated from any other Irish ship. And we were in company with several more ships, which I can't remember the names of. And we set sail down for the French coast. On the way, the captain, who was Captain Lee, who was ex-Whale Island gunnery commander, very keen gunnery man, and we were told by him that we're on our way to take part in the landings on French coast. The invasion was put off for 24 hours because of rough weather. There were so many ships in the channel that it was unbelievable. The Germans didn't seem to be bothered about. Thought it was some kind of an exercise. There was dozens of ships, cruisers, merchantmen, tank landing craft, you name it, it was there. So we hung on for 24 hours and then we set off, and we were allotted to the American beach, which was Omaha at Cherbourg. We anchored off the French coast during the dark hours, and then daylight come, we were involved in landings and bombardment of shore installations. Recommended for a gunnery, destroying all sorts of things on the French coast. And we...
What gun were you on, personally?
I was on the Akak twin Bofa gun on the Black Prince.
Were there any German planes that day?
There were German planes, and we did get bombed a couple of times, but nothing really much. Our biggest danger was the shore batteries. We had a salvo of 6-inch howitzer shells down the port side. But it brought all the aerials down, I remember that quite well. But we suffered no casualties at all. And everything went smoothly.